Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in the name of our risen Lord. Amen. Our text is the lesson just read. Eastertide is a brilliant season, is it not? It's particularly enjoyable at this place because in Eastertide the campus is green and lovely and particularly peaceful. Indeed, occasionally there is, however, evidence that we too live in a fallen world. The seminarian who gets too close to our nesting swans discovers that a painful, vigorous bite might be coming his way. Or I recall some years ago an interesting moment. We had a staff member come to the library who had lived in Germany in great poverty, achieving a very prestigious degree. In those days, the dining hall served only one helping. And this staff member gained quite a reputation because as you would sit at table with him, he would suddenly say, are you going to drink all your milk? And are you going to eat your Jell-O? And there were a few times where I thought even seminarians, righteous ones, were considering physical violence to protect their food. We have a lovely campus. We have a beautiful setting. And indeed, it's something to give thanks for, because how many Christians have had the privilege of praying and worshiping and working in a context like ours? At the same time, we're all aware that all around such beauty there is a world that is torn and tattered, that at every place on the globe there is danger of tyranny. And God's word diagnoses why the world is like that. It's not because of a defect in diet. It's not because of a lack of therapeutic skills. It's sin. It's rebellion against God that goes to the heart of every human being. The primal sin of Adam and Eve is lived out as we read Genesis in violence. Cain kills Abel in chapter 4. By chapter 6, God is so disgusted with the violence that human beings wreak upon one another, he's prepared to go back to the beginning and start all over. Only Noah finds grace and helps us escape that fate. The human heart that turns in upon itself and seeks to form its own God turns away from God, from friends, from family, and from others. And the evidence of that is all around us. Indeed, yesterday, as I reflected on this text, I was struck by the kind of protections that must be put in place in a free land like ours. Having been invited to the White House for the National Day of Prayer, I went through at least 5 layers of security. And why is that, that such a beautiful house, beautiful vistas, are now punctuated by men carrying large weapons and intense security? It's because there is no peace out there. Power threatens, and assassinations come all too easily to a fallen order. But Eastertide holds up for this world, for you and for me, a whole nother way of thinking. We in Easter behold and experience and announce a peace that comes from the risen Christ. And it surpasses even the peaceful beauty of our campus. You see, the real peace comes right here. It came in that post-resurrection season when Jesus appeared and said to the disciples, "My peace be with you." And it comes in our text today with all the sparkling beauty and piercing reality that Christ brought to a torn and sin-saturated world. Listen again to this lovely text. Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they, and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them." And then this, "Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes." That is the reality that you and I have been baptized into, and that we anticipate, and that by God's grace we embody on this planet. We are the ones who have had the living water poured upon us. We are the ones who have had our robes washed in that holy blood. That living water pours over us daily. It gives us a peace that cannot be had in the most beautiful environment, a peace that penetrates to the core of who we are. When we were baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, life was planted in us that cannot be taken away. And with that life, there is an enveloping peace that no tyranny can tear at. There will be a day that many of the saints enjoy now, where there will be no weeping, there will be no thirsting. Now we weep over losses. We weep over sins, but we continually come back to this place and are refreshed, and our terror before a holy God is done away with by the living waters of our baptism. And it's here that our robes are washed as we receive his very body and blood from this altar. It's here in this chapel that his word of life daily nurtures and feeds us, so that now we can go out with remarkable courage and clarity to a torn and tattered country, to a torn and tattered cosmos, and announce a kingdom of peace, a kingdom of life. This is where our tears are finally washed away, where our sins are gone and our pains are answered by his holy pains. And we see in his holy wounds our healing. Here our eyes become full of God's grace. Day after day after day we behold his gifts. He gives his absolution freely and fully. And he keeps on giving. He gives life. He gives peace. All in Christ. May his life and his peace be yours now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.